Hi there, and a warm welcome from Jim Craig on what is a pretty wet day here in Glasgow. We have been getting quite a number of these recently, but the weather forecasters have assured us that a nice spring and a wonderful summer are on the way. Mind you, they say that every year, and I believe the last time they got it right was in 1986, so perhaps we should not be too confident about that prediction. Let's start the podcast this time round on the subject of politics. Now, from our own papers, news, TV and all the rest of it, we know you have an American election looming. Will it be Trump or Cruz for the Republicans, or Clinton or Saunders for the Democrats? Well, we have a bit of a Scottish interest in this one, because Mary Ann McLeod, who was the mother of Donald Trump, left the Isle of Lewis in the first part of the 20th century, emigrated to America, and met Frederick Trump, who was of Germanic origin. And Donald was the product. So we're keeping an eye on what's happening over there. But we have our own elections to bother about in Scotland as well. Now, we are a devolved nation. That means that we had the chance to vote for independence last year, and the vote was roughly 55% against independence and 45% for independence. So that means we're still part of the United Kingdom, and as a devolved nation, we have our own parliament, and it deals with mainly Scottish affairs, whereas the UK parliament, of which we are part as well, deals with things that are UK-wide or international things. And actually, in politics in general, things have changed dramatically over the years. The first time I became interested in the subject was in 1955. I was 12 years of age. I was just leaving school. And my teacher in the primary school was a real political animal and got us all involved. And in 1955, there was a general election when the Tories, that's the Conservative Party, won 50.1% of the vote. Labour, Socialist Party, won 46.7% of the vote. And the SNP got 0.5% of the vote. Now, that meant the Tories got 36 seats, Labour got 34 seats, and the SNP, the Scottish National Party, didn't get any seats at all. But if we go back to 2015, in the election for the Scottish Parliament, the Tories only polled 14.9% of votes, which gave them one seat. Labour polled 24.3% of votes, which gave them one seat. And the SNP, with 50% of the vote, got 50 seats. So there is a lot happening here, and also a lot happening in America, and it will be interesting to see how things develop over the next few months. We also lost one of our best-known comedians last week. Ronnie Corbett was a very talented guy in his own right, but when he paired up with another comedian called Ronnie Barker and became known naturally and nationally as the Two Ronnies, well, their popularity hit the heights. Their shows were a combination of sketches and scenarios, but they also did a news broadcast, of which I was particularly fond. And I can give you two examples just now. First one was this afternoon's Tipperary Games in Ireland. In the final of the tug of war, both teams were disqualified for pushing. Or the Prime Minister had discussions this morning with the Cabinet. He then spoke to the wardrobe, the sideboard and a chest of drawers. And the last one is latest in a bullion robbery at Wandsworth Police Station. A man who is as deaf as a post and doesn't speak English, with a terrible stutter, bad breath and squeaky shoes, is not helping the police one bit with their inquiries. So that was the sort of stuff that the two of them used to do, and they did it a lot better than I did it there. And our sincere condolences go out to Ronnie's wife and his children. Let's go on to sport, and first of all, rugby. Rugby is a strange sport in Scotland because attendances for ordinary matches at league level and district level, not particularly good. You maybe get 500 to 3,000 in total, depending on where in the country you're playing it. But international matches get a really colossal amount of crowds. I mean, at Murrayfield, you'll get up to 60,000 for an international. And of course, Scotland are in what they call the Six Nations, where we play against the other four nations in the British Isles, England, Wales, Ireland, And we also play against France, and now have been joined by Italy as well to make it Six Nations. Now, in the World Cup last year, which was held in England, Scotland was pretty unlucky, to be quite honest. I mean, they always say that when you get unbeaten, but they were pretty unlucky. Because with only, about 10 minutes left in the match, the Australian team got a line out down near the Scottish line. For some reason, the Scottish line-out thrower decided to throw to the back of the line, which makes the job a lot more difficult than throwing it to the front of the line. There was a knock-on by the Scots and a penalty to Australia. It was a debatable decision, but it gave them the victory, and they went on to beat Argentina in the semi-finals before losing to New Zealand in the final. Now, the Scottish contingent that day was particularly annoyed because it was a debatable decision. And there was serious repercussions afterwards because the referee was getting pelters, but he did not help his cause by, at the end of the game, he ran straight up the tunnel without shaking hands with anybody at all, which all the Scottish supporters there on the day, the vast majority of the 60,000 there, took as an admission of guilt that he'd screwed up when making that decision, and they were all very annoyed with him. Anyway, in the Six Nations Championship, from a Scottish point of view, it was quite galling to see that England won all the five matches and finished up with 10 points. Wales were second, having won three out of five, got 7 points. Ireland were third of their five games. They won two, drew one and lost two, and they got 5 points. And Scotland in fourth place, having played five, won two, drawn nil and lost three with 4 points. France also on 4 points. And Italy, who traditionally have become the kind of whipping boys in this particular championship, bringing up the rear with no points, 5 games played and 5 games lost. On to football. Well, at the top of the Premiership, we have Celtic being pursued by Aberdeen. At the time of making this broadcast, Celtic are still well clear, 5 points I think it is, and Aberdeen, who have really blown a number of chances to catch up on Celtic, in second place. And at the bottom, Dundee United, Kelly and Hamilton are all fighting for the one relegation spot. Now what happens is, as we get towards the next couple of games, we then go for the split. There are 12 teams in the league and it splits into the top six and the bottom six. The bottom six play each other, the top six play each other. So in terms of technical ability, these final five games for each of the teams should be the toughest of the season because you're playing teams who are in the same half of the table as yourself. And then what happens is that the team that wins the championship, that is the team which is wins the league immediately below the Premiership, they're automatically promoted. Second, third and fourth in the championship then go into the playoffs. Third and fourth play home and away. And the winner goes through. And then the winner beats the second place team again in a two-legged affair. And the winner of that meets the 11th in the Premiership for a chance to get into the Premiership itself. So it's quite a complicated system, but it works pretty well at the end. And it means that there are a lot of very exciting games. And of course, a really big game is coming up where Celtic meet Rangers, who have just won the championship, and they meet them in the semi-final of the Scottish Cup, but I'll deal with that more detail next week. It's a bad time for Scotland's national side, to be quite honest, because the European Championships are in summer this France, and most annoyingly, four teams from the British Isles, England, Wales, Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland are involved, and we are not. Now, I'm quite annoyed about this because, first of all, I don't think our players are any worse than the rest. Secondly, we can't put it down to having smaller populations. I mean, England obviously have a huge population, 53 million. Scotland have 5.295 million. But the other three countries that managed to get there, Wales, 3.063 million, Northern Ireland, 1.811 million, and the Republic of Ireland, 4.595 million, have either got similar attendances to ourselves or smaller attendances. And I'm really quite annoyed that we will not be there. It's a long time, it's 1998 since Scotland were last involved in an international championship, and that was when we were involved in the World Cup. So it's about time we were involved again, and I do wish that Gordon Strachan would stop coming on television and tell us what we're going to do in the next event and make sure that we qualify from the event we're in. Now, when it comes to the World Cup qualifying, which starts in the autumn, we have England in our section, so that means you're off to quite a difficult start straight away because they are beginning to have a good side. But it's the other teams that we have to bother about and make sure we beat all those. And we've had two recent victories over the Czech Republic and Denmark, which has helped a little for morale, but when it starts in France in summer, we will still be quite disappointed at the fact that we are not there. Now, I'm going to tell you a couple of anecdotes. I'm going to leave some stories about my teammates for later. I'm going to talk about other clubs just now. And my first one, I go across the city to deal with Rangers. Now, in the late 70s, early 80s, they had a fullback called Jim Denny. He was a very wholehearted player who was not the best player the world has ever seen and was not a particular fan of the Rangers support. Anyway, during an Old Firm game, he was substitute. And at one point during the game, John Gregg, who was manager at the time, told him to go and warm up. So Denny, to everybody's surprise, ran down to the Celtic end of the ground where all the Celtic supporters were gathered. I started doing some calisthenics and some runs behind the goal to a chorus of boos, etc., from the Celtic fans. And eventually John Gregg signalled to him to come back up again. And when he ran up and sat down and started getting ready for the game, John said to him, "Why the hell did you go and warm up down that end?" And Jim Denny said, "Because I get a better reception down that end than I do at the Rangers end." Isn't football a strange game? The other ground that I have had good fun in is Partick Thistle's ground, Firhill, and I'm going to tell you two stories from there. First of all, I was broadcasting one day for Radio Clyde. In this game at Firhill, Partick Thistle had gone one down, but had then equalised and were pressing for the winner. And he had a player playing for them, a great Celtic fan in actual fact, called Chick Chanley. Now, they got a corner kick, and Chick raced across, picked up the ball, put it on the arc, and then stepped back and leant against the wall surrounding the ground to see where he was going to strike the ball and where he was going to aim the ball for. And just at that moment, a small boy tapped him on the shoulder, and when Chick turned round, the boy held out an autograph book, and to his eternal credit, Chick Chanley signed the autograph for him before swinging the ball into the middle. Now, how many players would have done that, and how many grounds would have let that happen? And then Alan Ruff, who later went on to play with Celtic. Alan was playing in a game there at Thistle. The manager was John Lambie. And a player moved forward from the middle of the park and struck a terrific shot towards goal. And it crashed against the crossbar, ricocheted right up into the air and came back out to the edge of the box. And the player running in volleyed it for a second time and absolutely smashed it towards the top corner. And Alan Ruff got up and tipped it over the bar. It was really a magnificent save, and the crowd rose and gave him much applause. Anyway, in the dressing room afterwards, John Lambie was not particularly happy that the team had not played very well and was giving everybody a bit of abuse, and suddenly turned to Alan Ruff and said, "I've got to be honest, Ruffy, I've got to be honest. That was one of the finest saves I've ever seen." And Alan, to his eternal credit, said, "Boss, I've got to be honest as well. I was going for the first shot." Anyway, we go back to Paddy Thistle for my final story, which involves a player called Colin McGlashan, who was a centre forward and who scored an awful lot of goals for Partick Thistle at that time. And on this particular game, he was putting himself about a wee bit. He went up for a high ball with the goalkeeper, and it was a clash of heads, and Colin went down. The trainer, who was a young girl, went running on and gave him some attention on the park, got him to his feet and took him behind the goals, but he almost immediately felt rough again and started to collapse again, so they laid him down behind the goals. John Lambie in the dugout, who's got a bit annoyed by all this attention to one player, shouted across him, "How is he?" And she looked up and she said, "John, he's not very good. He doesn't know who he is." And Lambie shouted back, "Well, tell him he's Pelly and put him back on again." The way we were treated by coaches and managers in those days. So there you are. That's it for this week. Join me again next week. In the meantime, from Jim Craig, thanks for listening. Bye for now.